First of all, a confession. My only contributions to sport in Australia have been satirical. I worked with the Anti-Football League of loving memory. And later, Alex Titt and I invented Norm, whose idea of sporting involvement was to sit back on his couch and toast the telly with a tinny. But there is one sports story that I've long admired, ever since its creator explained it to me in a Qantas lounge in Melbourne. It is about the benefits that the discipline of marathon running can bring, not only to the runner, but to those around them. Robert De Castella knows all about discipline, of course. Rob was a world champion marathon runner back in the 80s when he won gold medals at the Commonwealth Games and set a new world record. Now, when he retired from professional running, he first worked in the area of high-performance sport, but realised that his real passion was in public health and the benefits that running could bring to an increasingly obese and unwell nation. And it was through this work that the idea of training Indigenous Australians to run the marathon began. But with the benefits of the program extend way, way beyond the runners themselves. Rob joins us from Canberra to tell us about the program, and I'm pleased to welcome Cara Smith and Adrian Dodson-Shaw. Cara is the manager of Deadly Running Australia, and Adrian is the head coach of the Indigenous Marathon Project, and both are graduates of the Indigenous Marathon Project themselves. Rob, when you finally stopped running competitively, did you have a set of goals to carry you forward?
Probably not so much, Philip. I mean, you know, as an athlete, life can be pretty simple. You know, you're focused always on your next major event and getting through the next training session. But when you retire, things change dramatically. And like a lot of athletes, it's always a little bit unclear as to what you can find to channel that passion and drive into. And I, you know, worked for a while at the Institute of Sport, and then, you know, sort of, as you mentioned in your introduction, more recently have found my passion in terms of using running to change the lives of Indigenous Australians and change the attitude that non-Indigenous Australians have of a lot of Indigenous Australians who've, you know, been able to commit to running a marathon in 6 months from virtually no running.
And of course, at the time, you were typical of white fellas and you didn't really know many Indigenous people.
No, that's right. I mean, I grew up in Melbourne and went to a Jesuit school down there. And as my running career developed, I spent a fair bit of time living overseas and actually spent a lot more time with African runners and got to know them and their families, and had hardly ever met a Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander from Australia. And it wasn't really until we started the IMP, or the Indigenous Marathon Project, back in 2010 that I had an opportunity to see firsthand, I think, a lot of the tragedy and the issues and the challenges that Australia's confronted with, and met some amazing young Aboriginal men back then. And that's, you know, that's pretty much where the IMP program all started.
So you were confronted by the high levels of obesity and diabetes in Indigenous communities, and also that all pervasive sense of hopelessness.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think, you know, like most Australians, we've all heard of the concept of closing the gap and the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians in life expectancy and education and incarceration and suicide and, you know, all of those health and lifestyle indicators. But, you know, looking at them in the newspaper or hearing the statistics is very different to actually confronting them face-to-face out in the communities. and that's what I saw. You know, I saw the overweight and the obesity. I saw the grog. I saw the violence. But I think what upset me the most, way beyond those superficial things, was the hopelessness that I felt existed out there, and there was a lack of concept of having dreams and chasing dreams and believing that those dreams could maybe one day become a reality. And I think, you know, without a feeling of hope, without a feeling of self-worth and a sense of personal value, it's very difficult to motivate yourself to do anything in life, because just about everything requires a fair amount of effort. Even, you know, just getting off the smokes, or, you know, going on and turning up for a job interview or anything like that requires a fair amount of work and effort. And without a sense of self-worth, it's very difficult, I think, to make that effort yourself.
Rob, I dimly remember that your mate Matt Long made a documentary called Running to America. Remind me.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, that's how the whole IMP program started. You know, I had a phone call just out of the blue from this fella in Sydney, Matt Long, and you know, his dream was always to make a documentary. He said, you know, he asked me, you know, do you think Aboriginal men can run like the Africans? He said, you know, given the huge success in many of the football codes and many of the other sporting codes, and given the huge success of the Kenyan and the Ethiopian and the African runners, and similarities between backgrounds in hunting and gathering, you know, do you think that physiological talent is maybe lying dormant within Indigenous Australians? And it was a really interesting question, and I was fascinated by it, because at the top end of Australian distance running, we're sort of struggling. The rest of the world is getting further and further in front of us, and that's all dominated by the Africans. And if there was a possibility of unearthing a distance runner from Indigenous Australia who had a similar ability to take on the African dominance, then, you know, that was something that was a pretty exciting concept. And we started the project back in 2009, 2010. And Matt documented the whole story, travelling around the Northern Territory and the Kimberleys, and working with four Aboriginal fellas and introducing them to something that they'd never even heard of. They never knew what a marathon was. They'd never heard of distance running. They had absolutely no real interest in it, except for the allure of getting a free trip to New York. And that's pretty much, you know, sort of how we managed to get those four fellows to come on board. And that was my first introduction to Indigenous Australia. And, you know, I'll tell you, to stand on the finish line of the New York City Marathon back in 2010, when each of those four fellows managed to stagger across that finish line. And for me, having followed and known and worked with those four young fellows and seen what they'd overcome to get just to the starting line, that was, you know, sort of the realization to me that it was something more important than finding the next fast runner from Australia. But what we had to do was use running and use the marathon to instill that sense of pride and self-worth, and take a healthy, active lifestyle, which running obviously builds, but more importantly, to instill that self-respect and pride, and then use that as a way to drive change and you know, be able to not only encourage dreams, but also to give them the courage to step up and have a go at making those dreams a reality.
I suppose in our little program we're having a sort of a relay race, but before we pass the baton to Cara and Adrian, you've just returned with 11 runners who completed the marathon.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, 2010 was now 9 years ago, and we've taken every year, we've taken a group of young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, men and women now, and we select 6 men and 6 women at the start of each year, all aged between 18 and 30. And now we've just come back last week from our 9th New York City Marathon, and we've got now 86 amazing young Indigenous Australians who have stepped up and have done something quite remarkable. And I think that's fueled a belief and given them a realisation that they're stronger than what they ever thought possible. But more importantly, they now accept that they've got a responsibility to actually pass that forward and to inspire others, their own children and nephews and nieces and other members in their communities to have that strength to make a difference.
Kara, let's introduce you now properly. Tell me your story. First of all, where are you from?
Yep. Hi, Philip. I am Kara Smith. I'm a Githubul woman from Wudumbong in northern New South Wales. I'm from a family of 5, and my mother is from Wudumbong, so that's her country. And, you know, I'm really proud. You know, I was born and bred there, did all my schooling and everything, but, you know, as small towns and small communities are, there's a lot of, you know, negative, stigma around, you know, the Aboriginal community. And I, unfortunately, me and my family kind of faced that a lot. You know, it was a predominantly Aboriginal community. And like Rob was saying a little bit before, like, there is that sense of hopelessness. You know, I'm really proud of where I'm from and everything, but, you know, I'm only 31 years old, but, you know, growing up, I didn't have those role models who made the break and got out of, you know, the small town community. If it wasn't for my sister and, you know, the kind of pressure and discipline from our parents to, like, leave this small town, I'd probably still be there and, you know, who knows what I'd be doing. But, you know, I'm a graduate of the program. My journey started, you know, only 4 years ago, and my background is as a deadly runner myself. So, growing up, I didn't, you know, do a lot of exercise. I wasn't into running. I was more into studying and things like that. And I was, you know, always struggled with my weight and things like that. But, you know, coming down to Canberra and working here, I seen the change that the Deadly Running program had on one of my own friends, and who was also a graduate of the program. And I thought, oh, if he could do it, I could at least give it a shot. Okay. So, you know, and that's a way it is with most Aboriginal people. You know, if they see their cousin or their auntie or, you know, someone else doing something fine or it's working for them, they'll get the courage and motivation to, you know, go along. And, yeah, that's really where my journey started. And, you know, I've since gone to, you know, obviously complete New York. And, you know, after New York, Rob's absolutely right in saying the finish line is just the start line. Like, that's really kind of opened my eyes up to what running can do for your family and for yourself as well. And, you know, I came back and gave back to my community, and I coached, you know, people with no running experience on the same journey that I am. And, you know, some people are already running marathons and things like that. So it's really amazing what the Deadly Running program can really do.
Kara, explain deadly running.
So deadly running, so deadly, of course, it's not like, you know, venomous snakes or anything like that, but deadly is, you know, a really powerful term for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people around Australia. You know, we've really owned it to become a word of, you know, strength and courage. And, you know, when something's great, it's really deadly. Like, you know, Philip, you're really deadly for staying up late. But, you know, deadly running is just about, you know, making running accessible and welcoming to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and non-Indigenous people. You know, we're grassroots, we're volunteer run, and we're all about just making running, you know, fun. As horrible as it is hard, but, you know, nothing easy comes, nothing worth having comes easy. So we make running, deadly running, just enjoyable, and we motivate each other. And, you know, we say to our runners, you know, you're deadly, you're amazing for doing this. And we really encourage their family and their friends to come. And it's about, you know, just supporting each other and encouraging each other and, you know, setting those small goals and, you know, sharing our passion, our belief in ourselves with our own community and, yeah, just sharing the love, really.
There's a lovely story about you, Kara. You had a goal of doing the marathon in under 6 hours and you made it in 5 hours, 58 minutes. Little wonder you were crying when you finished.
Oh, I'm still crying thinking about it. But I was a little bit competitive with, you know, one of my kind of friends who was a graduate, Aaron West, and he actually got me into the Deadly Running Program, he and his sister-in-law, Georgia Gleason, and he ran the marathon in 2015 and his time was 6 hours 15. So I thought to myself, I think I said to Rob and Adrian at the time, I said, I just want to beat Aaron. I don't care what time. I just want to beat him. So, you know, I got under 6 hours and I was really stoked with that. So I've since gone on to complete 2 extra marathons this year. And they've been over 6 hours. They've been a little bit painful and everything. And, you know, but I've still finished them. You know, that's, you know, Rob kind of really instills that into each of the graduates and the squad members. You know, it's not about how fast you go or how slow. You know, you just have one destination, and that's the finish line. And, you know, it's a really great metaphor for life, you know, this running and marathons, you know. You know, there's always going to be the really fun parts where the crowd is, you know, supporting you and cheering you on, and, you know, you'll have all this extra support around you. But it's those tough times, you know, when, you know, you're out there on your own, that you really have to dig into what's inside you to really push through and, you know, make it to that finish line or whatever goal you have. So, yeah.
This is LNL on RN, although I think on this occasion we'll call it run in. Adrian, come in now. You grew up on the other side of Australia. Yours is a very different story. You were born in Broome?
Born 200 kilometres north of Broome, Derby, so, but family up from Broome.
And I understand you got a bit soul sick attending so many funerals.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's probably like all probably Indigenous people, you know, growing up and, you know, having people around you, loved ones pass away at an early age. I know the statistics of us Indigenous people, the life expectancy is not that great. But, yeah, growing up, obviously funerals was a big part of my life as a kid growing up, and seeing that both in Broome and in Alice Springs, where my mother's from, played a part in that. And obviously that was just all centred around all of the things, obviously, that we see back then and still now, and obviously through history as well, has played a big part with my family and displacement. So, you know, a lot of that background stuff played a key part, especially with all the issues that we see now.
Kara talks about herself as being fundamentally more bookish, whereas you were a natural athlete.
Yeah, I just love giving things a go, I suppose. That was just my nature, and if you know, I just love sport in general and love participating in it, and especially team sports. I played a lot of AFL footy, a lot of basketball, so, you know, that was really some of the foundation that I grew up in, especially where I'm from, is pretty popular, and yeah, just all kind of sports. I just love to get out there and be active.
Adrian, tell us about your first marathon. How did that feel?
Yeah, it felt great. You know, having been selected at the age of 30, having tried that before, so it was my second time around, and being successful before the cutoff, which is pretty awesome, because I turned 30 in February, and the tryouts were a couple of weeks later in March. So had really no expectation. I just wanted to give it another go, and thankfully enough, I got selected. But yeah, rolling on throughout the year, trained pretty hard, put my all my energy, all my focus into it. Had good support from my community, from my partner and my kids that drove me along. And to get to New York and, you know, give it all that I got, it was pretty surreal. And to do that with the squad that I got selected with was pretty amazing, because we, you know, share that lifelong bond of doing something together, even though we ran our own races. But to share that goal in the end, because we all earned that medal, was pretty awesome.
I understand you ran the race in 3:36.
Yeah, 3:36. Yeah, I did okay, which is for my first marathon. But
you did damn so better than I did.
Yeah. No, well, it just goes to show, it doesn't matter your situation. If you're determined to do something, which you know, if I put my mind to something and I get an opportunity, firstly, I didn't want to let the people that selected me and had faith in me, like my coach and obviously Rob and the foundation and my best mate Charlie, who was who really inspired me. He was one of the first four boys to go over to America with Rob and do the documentary. They were kind of the springboard to me trying to do something and be, you know, positive and having kids and being a father now. And I just want them to see me as a good role model in their life and doing things that are outside your comfort zone, but just becoming a normal thing, being healthy and active.
Adrian, you're now the coach of the Indigenous Marathon team. How'd you go in New York this year?
Yeah, no, it was pretty awesome. I mean, you know, like to have seen all the guys at their tryouts and, you know, come back and, you know, go through selection and, you know, talk to Rob about, you know, why I believe these guys are worthy of being a part of, you know, the team of 2018, and which is a really hard decision because, you know, every year the applications get stronger and stronger because people see what we're about and want to be a part of it. So giving those guys the opportunity to do it, and then, you know, throughout the year, the 6 months through their own personal journeys, through the ups and downs, through injuries and, you know, everything that they'd had to battle with, and to see them to kind of get to New York and kind of realise that, you know, all that that training, the same like how I went through my year in Cara as well, you know, it was just really cool and gives you really that satisfaction of kind of seeing them and their personal journeys to get to that start line. They're already running kind of thing. So to run their marathon, like Rob says, it's your victory lap, really, because it's just all the hard things happens behind the scene in the 6 months leading up.
11 competed, 11 finished. One of the candidates wasn't ready for the marathon, but is hoping to run in the Boston.
Yeah, and, you know, she's pretty focused, and like we say at IMP, you know, we're not going to, and we haven't put anyone on the start line who we think that's not ready, and, you know, she gets an opportunity to go to Boston, and I think she's really thrilled about that and focused, and which is going to be pretty good, and hopefully she gets to go there with one of the other graduates, Emma Cameron, who ran in 2013 when the bombings went off. So she's got unfinished business because she actually got stopped at the 40K mark and she didn't complete that marathon. So it's kind of cool that she's, you know, got that drive to go back there and do it. And hopefully, you know, Lauren gets to do it with her as well. So it'd be great.
Rob, given that Indigenous Australians are so well represented, overrepresented in many an Australian sport, what sets long distance running apart?
Well, I mean, like we said earlier, Philip, I mean, when we first started on this journey, we were looking for you know, talented elite runners. But right at that very start, the whole concept changed, and rather than looking for fast runners, we're looking for strong Indigenous leaders, and you know, we're getting nearly 150 applicants for those 12 positions every year, and we select them based on two things. You know, one is what's their story, what's their purpose. You know, in the marathon you hit the wall at 30K and you've still got 12K to go, and at 30K you just want to stop and you want to sit down. You've run out of energy, you've run out of everything except your spirit. And each of the runners that we select have to have a purpose. They have to have a drive. They have to have something that's going to keep them going when their body has given up. And that purpose for most of them is that they've just had a gutful of all of the crap that's out there, and they want to be part of creating a better future for their children and for their community and for their families.
Rob, I'm assuming it's a constant struggle to keep the organisation floating.
Yeah, look, it is. I mean, we get about half of our funding from the federal government, which is terrific. But every year, you know, we're getting more and more graduates coming through. And we're, as I said before, a charity, a GDR registered charity. And once our runners have crossed the finish line in York, that's when the work really starts. So we raise funds so that we can provide them with grants and scholarships and help them to set up their own projects and programs in their communities, and continue to support them through their own professional and personal development. So, you know, there's a lot of information on our website, which is imf.org.au, and I'd really encourage any listeners who might be interested in finding out a bit more to follow us on Facebook or on social media. There's an amazing group of inspirational Indigenous Australians, and a big part of what I'm trying to do is to use the marathon to demonstrate the strength and the resilience and the achievements of young Indigenous Australians. You know, everyone knows the marathon is hard, and if we can get a group of young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, most who've never run before and struggle to run 1 or 2 kilometres non-stop, and in 6 months later they're running 42k non-stop, it really demonstrates to them, but I think to demonstrate to all of Australia, the incredible strength and resilience of our Indigenous people.
This little program has an award it gives out infrequently for achievements above and beyond the call of duty. It's called the Koala Stamp. And Rob, you and the organisation have just won one. Yes, we will put the links up on the website, and it's been a privilege to talk to you. Robert Di Castella, Director of the Indigenous Marathon Foundation, Cara Smith, Manager of Deadly Running Australia, and Adrian Dodson-Shaw, Head Coach and Program Manager of the Indigenous Marathon Project.